Hey, it's Melvin. Before we jump into today's podcast session, if your private practice income feels unpredictable, here's one simple shift. Keep your private pay clients and just add one insurance panel for stability. Alma makes it easy for you to do that. You can try it free for 2 months over at sellingthecouch.com/Alma. sellingthecouch.com/Alma. Hello, hello. Welcome to today's session of Selling the Couch. I hope you are doing well, having an incredible day. Today's podcast is titled Human-Centric Marketing, Reimagining How We Connect Through Our Work. My guest today is Shayna Vance Roman from shaynavanceetc.com. Shayna and I are friends. We actually met at the Mental Health Marketing Conference a few years ago. Shayna was helping on the social media marketing side for mental health marketing, and we connected and have gotten to be friends. And when we were at the conference this past year, I was like, Shayna, you should come on the podcast. We should talk about this because I think this is such a cool concept. And also, I think for many clinicians, when we think about marketing, there's like, we get all sort of these weird vibes from, you know, car salesmen, like that kind of slimy, and we're so cognizant to not do that. How do we do this in a way that preserves our humanity, but most importantly, respects the humanity of the people that will read our social media posts or our blog posts or listen to our podcasts and all of those kind of things? This is an interesting conversation. We start with this idea of like, what exactly is human-centric marketing, and how does Shayna think about this? And then we dive into this area of, I'm sure you've seen this, there's this growing fixation, especially in our field, on revenue, sort of showing that revenue numbers, but then on audience growth within the mental health field. This is anything from, on one end is sort of the therapist influencer niche, that sort of idea, or just in terms of this idea of, you know, you have to be on social media and you have to try to grow as big as you can. And then we go into a few different areas. And one of the most important areas we go into is how do you actually tangibly do connection, compassion, and purpose on a website at a practical level, or in just in content creation in general. And then we wrap up with this idea of burnout, especially with AI now being able to generate so much content so fast. How do you continue to create content that is authentically you and connect with potential clients? I think you're going to really enjoy this conversation. So here is my conversation with Shayna Vance Roman from shaynavanceetc.com. Hey, Shayna, welcome to Selling the Couch.
Hey, Melvin, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Well, before we even jump in, first of all, I'm so thankful for you, thankful for our friendship. You know, we've had a really nice bond over the past couple of years, and you're doing some pretty amazing stuff in the world, supporting helpers and healers with their marketing. And I think beyond, I feel like the work that you do is just a natural extension of who you are as a person. And I am so thankful for you. I'm excited for our conversation because I think this is going to resonate with so many clinicians of how do you market a business, but in a way that feels grounded and values driven and human at the core of it.
Exactly. Thank you so much, Melvin. That's so sweet. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. When we were even thinking about this conversation, you know, one of the ideas you told me is like, Mel, why don't we do something on like human-centric marketing? And I was like, oh, that sounds really interesting. So I thought I would start there. When you say that phrase, human-centric marketing, what exactly do you mean?
So human-centric marketing is essentially thinking about people as people and not just buyers or data points. It sounds really simple. It sounds like, well, sure, I mean, everyone's thinking about humans as humans, but when we put it into practice, when you're running a business, you'd be surprised how quickly that's not the case. And I think industry of mental health, it is so crucial that we, every single day when we wake up and we log on and we start doing our work, that we remember why we're doing this and who we're doing this for, and that there are people that really need these services and these resources.
Yeah, it's a great way of putting it. And I think you're spot on. I know that most of us as clinicians, we do think on a human level, but then when you start thinking about niches, or you're in a group practice and you think about needing to get an X number of clients coming through who may present with whatever situation, right? It really can get, it is really easy to get away from the human side of it. I'm glad that you articulated that. What do you think has led, which is, I think, related to this, which is, what do you think has led to this emphasis almost on like data points, pixels, like, you know, niches, but has gotten away from the human side of, I feel like, what initially the goals of the profession was?
Yeah, I mean, I think as specifically in mental health, as mental health becomes more normalized, I think there becomes a larger opportunity for people to get in there and simply make money. I think, you know, just like any business, we just want to make more money. But the thing is, these are real human lives. I mean, this is such crucial work. I mean, and you can apply this to anything. I genuinely do feel this. If you, because I also work in the arts, so I think it's important to still keep this mindset when you're working in the arts or mental health, or if you're selling products, it's like people need these things that you're selling. So if you just keep that in mind, you're educating them, you're supporting them. I think the fixation on data points is, especially when we start new businesses like email newsletters or podcasts, you know what I mean? You start to think, well, in order for these things to work, we just need more people to be tuning in. We need more people to be subscribing. I mean, those are important things. And I think it's just that simple. You know, I don't think there's anything inherently bad about that aspect, but that's what I'm thinking on that one.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like just like a, it sounds like more of a constant process, right? Like versus saying, you know, I'm going to emphasize human-centric marketing, but always grounding yourself, like, is what I'm doing, is it still human-focused? And I think this was maybe one of the questions that I had was, what are like subtle ways that you've noticed therapists like move away from human-centric marketing, whether it's like solo practice or group practice?
Therapists moving away from human-centric, I think it's when we're really... it's when you have your mission statement, right? Or you have your pillars, and you really believe in those things. You are bright-eyed and bushy-tailed leaping into this business, and suddenly you're realizing, oh, well, you know, I have this team of therapists and the client, they're just not getting clients. You know what I mean? You start to think, what things can we do to get more clients in the door? And suddenly, maybe your mission about, oh, helping people that need mental health resources and access, that might still be there. But I'm thinking that you're suddenly thinking, how can we bring in that influx of money? Because we're still running a business, right? It's so hard. It becomes this whole thing of ethics. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it is such a unique field because, right, there is the aspect of it of like a human, the therapeutic relationship is so powerful. And yet at the same time, and we are, even in grad school, right, there's so much emphasis on subtle ways, not subtle ways, like we're supposed to be like human-centered, all of those things, which I think are very important. But then at the core of it, you are running a business, and a business needs to be profitable because it needs to pay bills and all of these other parts of it. It is such an interesting balance between the two. I wanted to shift a little bit, which is, you and I, you know, post a fair amount on LinkedIn, create content, all of that stuff. broadly, I feel like, especially here post-pandemic in the last couple of years, there's this whole sort of micro niche of like therapist influencers and all of these things. And what do you think has led to this growing fixation on both revenue and audience growth in the mental health field?
Well, when you specifically mention like the therapist influencers, I mean, I think that kind of speaks for itself. It turns into, you know, paid partnerships and stuff like that. But I have also seen this very interesting shift in therapists that are suddenly feeling like they are getting burnt out in their field and they want to switch to something else almost entirely, something like consulting or coaching, which is a very valid thing. But I think just like when you go through grad school and you graduate and you're ready to go out in the world and be a therapist, maybe you join a group practice and that is what that is. But if you start your own practice or even just like a solo practice, you realize, oh my gosh, I've done all this school and I have no idea how to market myself. That is kind of wherein the problem really lies. I think when things don't come easily, we tend to panic, we tend to stress, but marketing is a whole other thing in itself. So that's where things can get really tricky. And I think it's the same thing with, maybe you've been doing this for a long time, maybe you've had a group practice, maybe you're ready to sell, and you sell and you are ready for the next thing. Maybe that's retreats or consulting or things like that. But I think a lot of people don't realize how much work it's going to be. And I think that's when the fixation on data and revenue really comes at you hard, because you realize, like, you know, maybe you just don't know how to market. You know, you've been doing this thing this whole time, which has been running a practice, but now it's a whole new ball game. Whether it's, you know, trying to do the influencer thing or trying to move into a new venture like coaching or retreats. I mean, you know, the mission is typically always to get people help, but there are so many other things involved. I mean, as you know, it's so much more than the therapy itself.
Yeah. Well said. I think, I don't know, this is something I like constantly struggle and navigate, which is like, as I think about new seasons for my career, like, am I doing this from a place of like panic or groundedness? And also, I think related to that, of like, what does my own definition of success look like in the midst of this, right? Like, I can study or learn from these folks who've maybe had like incredible revenue or incredible followers, but what is like, how do I take that wisdom and not like put it all onto me, where then I'm constantly comparing where I am to where these other folks are, and when that may not even be what I want, you know? But
exactly.
Like, there's a part of me I try to convince myself that's what quote unquote success will look like.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and you make a good point too about what does success mean to you. I think it's an extremely good thing to just step back and reevaluate, you know, how you're feeling. Why are you doing this? Remember your why, remember your mission. And if you're still calibrated with that, I mean, yeah, it's just crucial.
I think that is absolutely spot on. Are there any like practical things that you do on like some sort of a cadence, whether it's quarterly, yearly, whatever it is, to ground yourself in your why? Because I think many therapists want to do this, right? But when you're in the throes of, for example, private practice, or you're running a business, it's really hard to lose sight of that why. And I can even just share, as you start to think, like, one little thing I started doing is like, I was never like a big, like, I just didn't know what like vision boarding and all that kind of stuff, right? But I, you know, my previous executive assistant like was a big like on vision boarding, and so I got into it and I was like, okay, this is cool because it's like there's like a visual thing and it's hard to see it now, but I have my current like 2026 like vision board right there. And I have this whole day where I set aside, you know, sometimes, you know, like 2-3 hour chunks where I'm like, but I think it grounds me for the upcoming year of what I want to focus on. Because again, when you're in the throes of doing back-to-back podcast interviews and this and that, or this opportunity comes up, it's so easy to be like, okay, what is this? Oh, this sounds so good. But then I think the vision board just kind of helps me to think, okay, Mel, like, what is your definition of success? Like, one of them is like, I have like ZZZ, right? Like lots of sleep, right? Making sure I get lots of rest, stuff like that. So, but love to hear how you're thinking about it.
I mean, this might sound a little too simple. I think what I would say everyone should probably do is journal, even if it's just like a sticky note, like a day at some point, because it's important to check your empathy and check your apathy, especially in human-centric marketing, and especially if you are already very sensitive to what is it called? Being a...
like people-pleasing or...
Not people-pleasing. Oh, it's tough when you're an empath in this business and your emotions might be on your sleeve, or you're constantly feeling everything full on. Because when you start to inkle into this side where you are feeling apathetic, I think that's when, and that happens during burnout too, I think. That's the point where you step back and you say, maybe I need to take like the weekend off. Maybe I need to take a break. I need to reevaluate, really reset, recharge, recalibrate. These are ways to make sure that you are still doing your job because of your why and not because I just need to pay the bills, which is also very valid. And that's tough too. And, those are the sides of this industry that, you know, are constantly on our shoulders. And I think I have a completely different perspective just from the marketing chair rather than in the therapy seat. I mean, obviously it's completely different. It's apples to oranges, but I mean, it's still kind of in the same realm of if a therapist comes to me with help with their marketing, their private practice, I want everyone to know that, you know, you can come to their therapy room and get the help that you need. It's kind of the same thing from the marketing seat.
Yeah. Hey, it's Melvin. I hope you're enjoying today's podcast. If you're in private practice, you've probably felt the ups and downs. Some months are full, others are quiet. One simple way to stabilize things, keep your private pay practice, but just add one insurance panel. Not all of them, just the highest paying one that's in your area. That way you still have freedom, but you're not fully dependent upon referrals. That's where Alma really helps. They make it easy to accept insurance, handle all the administrative work, and keep things running smoothly. And just for STC listeners, you can try it absolutely free for 2 months. Just go to sellingthecouch.com/Alma and see if it fits your practice. Alma is spelled A-L-M-A. Yeah, I like the way that you articulated that. It actually made me think of this like next question, which was like, we hear words like compassion, connection, purpose, right? They all sound really great and very aspirational, but how do you actually put that into practice? Especially if you're like a therapist in private practice. I mean, it's not just like having those words on, you know, a website or something like that, but yeah, I'm curious how you're thinking about it.
Connection's a huge one. I think just having the understanding of where everyone is at in their journey is a huge part of it. Talk a little bit more about the question.
Yeah, of course. So like, I think when we, I think we're often told, like as therapists, right? Like you need to speak to, you need to connect with potential clients on your website, or when you have like an online directory profile, or even if you make like a social media post, right? But I'm always curious, like how that may practically play out. Like, is it just emphasizing words? Is it in how we show up in the therapy room? Because I feel like that could be in itself like marketing, right? For a, you know, a client tells somebody they know, right? Like, so I'm just curious about some of the ways that maybe it plays out. Those words go from these like amorphous things to actual practical side of it.
Yeah, for sure. Now that you mention it that way, it makes me think of the marketing side of it all. So for example, when you're building a website, I always like to think about the user friendliness and the user experience. So when I even think about human-centric marketing, this is literally one of the first examples I end up giving someone, or that comes to my mind, is when you, the user or the person, right, is looking for therapy, you might get online, you might be in a dark place too. And this is something to have in mind, because this is mental health we're talking about. So you might get on your phone and you might say, you know, mental health in my area, therapy in my area. Hopefully your practice is one that comes up first. When they click on that website, how user-friendly is it? You know what I mean? Is it just talking about the therapist, or is it talking about what that person needs in that moment? And can they easily set up a consultation call? Does it have resources for emergencies on it? That's something I think of, talking about purpose and connection and things in this space. I mean, that's where you're putting the human over the bottom line, because you're considering, where is this person at in their journey, and can we help them before they even enter this space? That also applies to the social media facing part of it. Are they able to feel like they can trust you or your team when they hop on your practice's Instagram? You know, I mean, these are things that from the therapy perspective, you might think, oh, it's not that big of a deal. But when you're the person seeking out the therapy, it's a huge deal. And so those are things that come to mind when we talk about connection and purpose. I mean, how are we building those things before they enter the door? I mean, because that's the whole problem, right, with the marketing side of it. It's just, how do we get them in the door? How do we get them to subscribe to this resource that they really need, and we really need them too?
Yeah, 100%. I think it's such an interesting tension, because you're holding like two things simultaneously, right? Which is, you know, you need clients in the door, but at the same time, doing it in a way that feels human and connecting and meeting them where they are, while at the same time realizing like there is maybe like, especially like in a downturn, or there's like summer doldrums, right? Like, you know, like while holding that too, right? It's, yeah. So Shayna, I think the last sort of area that I wanted to talk about, because I wanted to dive a little deeper into this, for like, we're in such a interesting time. I feel like AI has just permeated so much, especially in the last year. I was even thinking about like a year ago, I don't know, you know, as most of us are getting ready to do taxes and think through this, right? So I have this little document that, you know, normally I go and type everything in, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I could totally use AI this year to do this, right? That was not even an option last year. But I think the other side of this is, and we see this, right? I mean, I know, again, you and I are fairly active on LinkedIn. Many people are like getting constantly burned out by this like content creation, and I call it like AI slop, right? What would you tell them in terms of where to begin, again, with gentleness? Like, because I've talked to so many therapists recently, they're like, this is so dumb. Like, AI is generating this. who knows if this person even believes this, you know?
I mean, it's as simple as we talked about stepping back, recharging, recalibrating on your why. And I think that should also fuel the content that you're creating, right? Mm-hmm. If AI doesn't have a place in that, then I think the answer is to simply try restarting without AI and figuring out, okay, how can I use that as a tool and not the lead content generator? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I would recommend probably never using AI as your lead content generator, but there are definitely ways. I mean, like you said, for like a tax document, like, yeah, go to town. But when it comes to you're writing a blog that is going to go on your therapy website, I think it's definitely best that you sit down, maybe pen and paper, and come out with an outline and start filling in the outline. And then if you want to send it through AI to maybe like show you how you could refine it, that's great. And I think it might also help you come up with more ideas. You could then take that and then ask it, what kind of content can I create with it? And it might give you a few ideas, and then you can go and make it yourself through something very user-friendly like Canva. And also, I think we don't have to be posting every single day. People will tell you it doesn't matter what it is, just post every day. That's just not true. And that's where the fixation on data points comes in again, right? Is that, well, if you're posting 5 times a week on your therapy business page on LinkedIn, they might not perform well, but maybe you're getting more impressions. And if you scale back from 5 posts to 3 posts, your impressions might go down from the week before. And when you see that red, you start to kind of just, you might not panic, but it's kind of a bummer. And so you start to say, well, maybe I should be posting 5 days a week, but you don't have to. And I think there's a lot of value of quality over quantity, right? And authenticity over AI, which I know we use the word authenticity all the time, but it's true. You know, when I work with therapists that have their own things going on and we're posting to their social media, I so often tell them, like, choose what is authentic to you in this moment. Like, what do you want to post right now over? Are you just doing this because you think it's the strategic thing to do? Because humans, I mean, it's getting hard to distinguish AI and everything, but we still can feel it when we see it. Not just like generated images, but even like a simple post on LinkedIn, it'll just be like, oh, they didn't write that. You know what I mean? And I would always recommend, what are you feeling in this moment? What do you have to say? And let's say it and not go with what do you think is the right thing to do? You know what I mean? In terms of marketing strategy, for example, which I know is super strange coming from a marketer, but it's true. I think this has been the case throughout history with business and marketing. Like, we're always doing what we think is going to make the most money. And sometimes it does make the most money. But at what point do we stop and just do the right thing? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I have a feeling, one, authenticity, but then two is like, I'm a big believer in like less is more, especially in this AI world. I've even, you know, made this shift here because I've been, you know, fairly active on LinkedIn for the past like three years or so. We've had some definitely decent growth there, but I started noticing over the last like 6 months as more like AI content kind of permeated. And then also I just felt like I was burning out. There was almost like too much content that I don't know. Like, I feel like I was losing connection with the person that was posting it. And I just started thinking like, hey, I wonder if there's like other people that are feeling that about me, you know? And so, I don't know. I've made kind of a thoughtful, or hopefully thoughtful decision to like really pull back this year. I'm keeping some structure, like, but also leaving a little bit of flexibility to, you know, essentially going from 5 days to like 2 days a week of posting. But I leave myself, if there's something like, for example, I'm, you know, on the golf course or something and some idea comes up, right? That maybe I just leave enough spontaneity to post it there because I don't know. I think when I think about like social media, what I think is exactly what you're alluding to. The whole point is that you're building connection and trust and friendship with people, right? And so the content itself should be a means to an end, right? And so do we lose that heart piece of it?
Yeah, it's tough. And I do want to say, I don't know if it helps because I know you in person, but I've never thought that when I see your posts. Your posts are always very genuine. And I think that's why I'm very pro what do you have to say and let's say it, because people want to hear from you. Of course, we go online and we promote our things, and that's very necessary. We want people to know what we're up to and how they're going to benefit from this product or service that we're offering. But I think also LinkedIn, since you mentioned it, is a fantastic example because LinkedIn starts off as this job site, right? But over time has evolved into a space where we can still post selfies and funny things and memes and still connect with each other because we just want to live. You know what I mean?
Yep.
We just want to live and connect with each other and still promote our businesses while having fun. So, I mean, I think that's what it should always be about. And there are very serious situations that we are tackling all together on this weird place of the internet, right? And even just side note, the internet itself, or social media, I should say, has evolved so much in the last 10 years alone. I mean, we started off just posting little pictures for fun, or, you know, we would poke each other on Facebook, and now it's like, if you have a business, it's almost like expected that you have a page that goes along with that, or that your business is connected to your personal. It's really tough, right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of like, I think, disconnected with the original question, but
I think it's a good one. I mean, it's definitely a good point though, because it's hard, I think, as clinicians to find sometimes that balance between the two. I mean, even just a practical thing, right? Like last Monday, Alex Preddy's murder had happened the weekend before. So I'm sitting down Monday to write this like post for like the latest Quiet Builder episode, right? And I'm sitting here, I'm like, dude, my heart is like, my head and heart are all over the place. Like, so I just wrote about that, and I wrote about why, like, this is really hard for me to even write posts like this, because like, I'm like non-confrontational by nature, and I usually don't like post. And I also know, and you know, having been on social media for now like a decade, I know that I would much rather have like one-on-one conversations of depth than these like sort of, you know, either like optics-based posts, right? Speaking about something, or posts that just get misinterpreted because we don't see depth, right? But I always hesitate with that. But I wrote that post, and I was kind of, I think, not proud of myself, but like I felt happy that I wrote that post and didn't do the Quiet Builder episode, you know, because it's like, I don't know, it's just, there's a human side to this, right? And
yeah, and it's tough. I mean, I am so proud of you for doing that, by the way. I think it's the right thing to do from our perspective, but it is still a scary thing to put your feelings and your words out there. So proud of you for doing that. It is just tough with everything happening around us and still having to move forward and promote our stuff and, you know, try to make an inkling of a difference. But it's possible, and people are listening, and people see you for who you are most of the time. Not you, but anyone. And that's why, you know, say what you feel, say the thing that you have to say. I mean, and it really helps if it does tie in to what you're promoting online. But obviously, It's the typical experience. It reminds me of the experience on LinkedIn of, you know, oh, I was at a birthday party and it reminded me of B2B marketing. You know what I mean? But sometimes it's just not the right time. It's just, right. Right. You know, let's just talk about that experience. Like, you don't have to tie it into marketing. We can have a separate thing. So,
wow. I think that's beautifully put. And maybe we'll end there, because I think what you're saying is, you know, I think especially with marketing, and especially marketing on social media, we think of individual posts. And the thing to remember is we're really creating a body of work, and it's that body of work then is what creates that connection or disconnection.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
So, Shayna, I'm so thankful for you. I can't believe the time flew by, but where can we learn more about you and some of the awesome services that you provide to help therapists and helpers and healers and folks in the arts?
You can find me on LinkedIn and on Instagram and at shaynavanceetc.com and at the escapepodmarketing.com. Yeah.
It's awesome. You're doing some pretty amazing work in the world. And I think especially if you're listening and you want someone that is very human-centered in their approach to marketing, Shayna is definitely your person. So Shayna, thank you again for this. And grateful for you, and have a great rest of your day.
You too, Melvin. Thank you.
Bye. Hey there. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Shayna, and especially if you've been thinking and navigating this area of how do you market your business in a way that still feels aligned. And especially if you're in this season where I am as well, where I am kind of realizing I don't want to create more stuff. I want to create actually less but better, because I value that sort of human connection, and I don't want to lose the humanity in all of this. For me, Shayna was, there were a lot of really great things that Shayna shared, and one of the things that stood out to me was the role of AI in content creation. I think one of the ways that I'm thinking so much about AI is it's like a thoughtful assistant versus the thing that's driving everything. Because the way these LLMs broadly work is they're self-referencing, right? They're self-learning. And so they're taking data points and creating things. But ultimately, I feel like we have to be the thoughtful modulators of this content. A second little tip that I wanted to share with you is, again, this is sort of like a broad framework. It's not like I sit down and, you know, think about this, but sometimes I think when I'm thinking about social media content, I don't know the balance between like offering practical stuff versus like emotionally sort of talking about something in a vulnerable way. And I think of it as like two, like boxes or two areas. And one area is like, I call it like heart-centered posts. And the other is what I call head-centered posts. And so heart-centered posts tend to be speaking from the heart to the heart. Head-centered posts tend to be about showing your expertise in something, right? So for example, let's just say, just because it's coming up for me right now, which is, let's say podcasting, right? I know decent amount about podcasting, and a heart-centered post might be about the first time I ever recorded an episode of the SDC podcast. So I might talk about using a TV dinner stand from Walmart and just putting my psychology books on top of that, and how scared and nervous I felt in recording that. And in fact, I actually recorded the intro, the first episode for the podcast, 5 different times. Because I didn't like the way that I sounded. I didn't like the ums and ahs that were coming. That would be an example of a heart-centered post. A head-centered post might be, hey, I've been podcasting for 11 years. And if you're just getting started with podcasting, here are a few of the things that I wish somebody had told me. So that's kind of an example. And again, if you sort of think it in buckets like that, I think that's been, you know, somewhat helpful for me. I think the other piece of this, and again, please, like, obviously, I know you know this, but like, please think about client confidentiality when thinking about this. But I tried to really now, I think, especially with this AI stuff, like I really tried to think about how do I capture stories or the most powerful moment of my day and capture that into either a journal, or I even actually have a channel within ChatGPT where I call it, this is from Matthew Dux's book, Storyworthy, which I highly recommend checking out this book or listening to it, or listening at least to a summary of it. But it's basically, how do you tell great stories in a way that connects with people? And what I found is if I can capture those stories on the front end, then it just makes it so much easier. If I can intentionally capture them every day, then when I'm ready to go create content, whether it's a podcast episode or a LinkedIn post, I can then reference those and then go from there. Hope you enjoyed today's session. Again, definitely reach out to Shayna. She's doing some amazing work, especially if you are navigating marketing your practice but want to do it in a human-centered way. Her website is over again at shaynavanceetc.com. Have a great rest of your day. Bye. Hey there, thank you so much for tuning in to today's session. Just wanted to also let you know that we have a free email newsletter that goes out every week. You can download it over at sellingthecouch.com/newsletter. Basically, that newsletter contains some of the stuff that's happening behind the scenes with STC and also with my life and how I'm balancing and trying to balance being both an entrepreneur as well as building a life around my family and my health as well. And it also contains the latest podcast episode and some of the stuff that I'm doing on LinkedIn, some of the strategies and things that are working for me. And then finally, a brand new section called On Mel's Mind, where I take a video or a book or a blog post or something like that that's inspiring me for that week, and I share how I'm implementing it both in my life and in my business. Again, you can download that over at sellingthecouch.com/newsletter. And if you are one of the 3,700 colleagues that have been a part of the email newsletter, I so appreciate you, and I'm grateful for your support. We genuinely try to make these helpful, and just based on the data and based on the feedback we're getting, it seems like we're doing a really good job. So appreciate you, and I hope that you have a great day.